This is Rebecca Jernigan, your tour guide into discoveries, coming to you live simulcast from the heart of America to around the globe via the World Wide Web, terrestrial radio, satellite, and podcast. Let's journey together into the realms of the unknown to the known in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth. All right, I am here in the heart of America, Kansas City, broadcasting live and heard on the Journeys with Rebecca Radio Network. A huge welcome to Black Vault Radio Network. Please go to their website. That's blackvaultradio.com. Thanks, John. Glad to have you guys aboard, and of course to all of my other great affiliates. Please check them out. Go to my website. That's journeyswithrebecca.com. Tonight's scheduled guest is Dr. Judy Wood, and our conversation tonight is about 9/11. A little bit of background first about Dr. Judy Wood. She has received her BS, Civil Engineering and Structural Engineering. She's received her MS, Engineering Mechanics, that's Applied Physics, and also her PhD in Materials Engineering Science. Now, from 1999 to 2006, Dr. Wood has been an assistant professor in the Mechanical Engineering Department at Clemson University in Clemson, South Carolina. Now, before moving to Clemson, she spent 3 years as a postdoctoral research associate in the Department of Engineering Science and Mechanics at Virginia Tech. Now, Dr. Wood is currently writing a book with Morgan Reynolds, and it's based on the physical evidence for understanding and explaining the events of 9/11. Now, Dr. Wood started to question the events of 9/11 on that same day when what she saw and then what she heard on television was contradictory and appeared to violate the laws of physics. Now, since that day, she has used her knowledge of engineering mechanics to prove that the collapse of the World Trade Center Twin Towers could not have happened as the American public was told. In her words, "We stand today at the dawn of an entirely new age. Man has in his hands a method of disrupting the molecular basis for matter and the ability to split the earth in half in a moment's notice. It gives the term scorched earth policy a new significance. The technology that was demonstrated on 9/11 can split the earth in half, or it can be used to allow all people to live happily ever after with free energy. However, he who controls the energy controls the people. Control of energy leads to destruction of the planet. But we have a choice, and this choice is real. Live happily ever after or destroy the planet. This is why I've been studying the evidence of what happened on 9/11. This evidence is central to it all. 9/11 was a demonstration of new technology, free energy. It can be used for good, but we need to make that choice and help others to as well. We do have a choice." Those are the words of Dr. Judy Wood. Very profound and very significant. Tonight's going to be a dynamite show. So before we go on, another quick mention for my friends, Carrie Cassidy, Bill Ryan of ProjectCamelot.org and ProjectAvalon.net. Now, for tonight's show, for questions, please join us in the chat room. You can get to that right from the front page of my website. That's journeyswithrebecca.com. You'll see a link on the right side. It'll take you in there. Write your question in the chat room, and the monitors will forward it to me. Or you can IM me at Yahoo, and that ID is journeyswithrebecca. That's all one word. Or for tonight's show, you can use the email address at mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. We're going to have 2 hours of Dr. Judy with us tonight. It is absolutely fabulous. So don't go away. Let's journey together. We'll be right back.
Fate Magazine is proud to celebrate its 60th anniversary and our 700th issue. That's 60 years of bringing you true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate brings you the latest on all aspects of the paranormal, like angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. It's bigger and better than ever. Subscribe now by calling 1-800-728-2730 or online at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730 or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
The times we live in now allow for the professional psychic to no longer be hidden. People from all walks of life, government officials, stars of screen and TV, CEOs to the homemaker and construction worker, have sought the insights of truly gifted psychics. You know, my colleagues at American Association of Professional Psychics have the most top-notch psychics available. Their gifts span a huge range from mediumship, channeling, clairvoyance, tarot, numerology, astrology, and so much more. You know, each of us as certified psychics must pass strict testing in honor and uphold the founding principles. All this information and so much more can be found, though, on their website. That's CertifiedPsychics.com. Or just call them at 800-717-7887.
More than talk, it's entertaining insight and discoveries. You're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
All right, welcome back, everyone. I apologize, too, for the opening. I wasn't sitting quite in front of my microphone, so for those of you who had trouble hearing, it was on my end, and I do apologize for the little glitch there. Tonight's very special guest is Dr. Judy Wood. For those of you who are listening, you probably heard a little bit about her credentials, but I urge each and every one of you, as you're listening, and you're listening to Dr. Judy talk, is to go to her website, and it's www.drjudywood.com/WTC, World Trade Center, or drjudywood.com/FAQ, Frequently Asked Questions. Those are two links also that you guys who are listening out there can just reach right from the front page of my website, journeyswithrebecca.com. So you can follow through, you can look at some of the videos and the pictures, and also her research. It's just a huge site with a wealth of information. Dr. Judy, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you for having me.
This is absolutely fabulous. I again want to just tell you how awesome I think you are, and all the work that you've done. You can see by the wealth of information, by the clarity of the information on your site, certainly by the depth and the profoundness of your work, this has become quite a passion for you. It is something that's been intensively looked at and researched on your behalf, and I'm sure other people as well that have been assisting you in this process. So we thank you for coming on and being as brave as you are to come forward onto all these radio shows that you've been doing and sharing this knowledge, because for some people, I'm sure you're not real popular.
Right.
And
depends
that's
on
okay.
What your objective is.
Yeah, well, like I said, I come into this world, Dr. Judy, this is not a popularity contest. This is what about doing the right thing, correct? You know?
Yep.
So anyway, as we go along, what I'd like for you to do is, I made a statement that I got right off of your website about, as you were watching the events unfold and then listening to the comments that were being made by all the newscasters, it just didn't set well. It was contradictory for you. So in that moment is when you really, it's something must have triggered, and you started with that. So I'm going to let you take it from the day of 9/11 and bring us in. Just, we'll go that way.
Okay, and I'll remind people, yeah, you're right. The site is very large and there's a lot of material, so that's why I've started recently making this kind of summary page. That's drjudywood.com/WTC. That will take you there. And I can show you various pictures. But how this began, on 9/11, I was called into the faculty conference room because they had the TV on, and look what's happening. And when those towers unraveled, they didn't collapse in my mind. They unraveled like a sweater unravels. It didn't look right. And I think I remember looking away and trying to imagine, now, what would I expect it to look like? Nope, didn't look like that. wouldn't you expect something kind of like a pile adjusting? Something scoots here, which makes something scoot over there. Or you know, not the whole thing uniformly, smoothly moving. Plus, the building was turning into dust from the top down. It really looked like a sweater unraveling.
That's an interesting analogy, yeah.
But looking around the room, you know, I was like, this is a joke, right? And people looked at me like I was a lunatic, like this is a serious matter. But it doesn't make sense. And I think I remember doing some calculations, and I went up to my office, and they said something about the Pentagon being hit. I thought, okay, is this a joke, like another War of the Worlds deal, except on TV rather than just on radio? My parents live near the Pentagon, so I thought, okay, that's a good way to collect some more data. If this is for real, we should have jets flying overhead. So I called up my mom. She looked out. Nope, no jets flying overhead. She wasn't aware anything was going on because she hadn't been watching TV. So, you know, that reinforced my idea that there's something funny going on.
Well, yeah, but, now that you think about it, you're right. And I remember watching the footage, and there wasn't any... there would have been. They just would have converged.
Yeah, you would have seen a whole lot of activity.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
And so it was kind of strange. Well, you assume the grown-ups are going to take care of it.
Right.
Because that's what I was told, you know, it's all taken care of, you know, like, you know, Big Brother will look after you.
Right.
And I was a new faculty member, relatively new, and, okay, I've got work to do, and I want to keep my job, I keep my head down, do what I'm supposed to do. I had made some calculations that later became my billiard ball example. And that was my way of checking my sanity. Like, okay, if it were to collapse, one floor by floor by floor, I made this kind of, you know, model of a timing device just to see. And, well, wait a minute, it's going to take, like, you know, at least 100 seconds. And, yeah, towers just wouldn't go away faster than it takes to drop a ball off the roof and have it hit the pavement below. So that didn't make sense. But, okay, I'm, you know, in the minority, and I want to keep my job. And I'm thinking this is how probably a lot of people are. There's an awful lot of peer pressure to go with the flow. And I did a similar thing the year earlier when we had the 2000 presidential selection.
Yes.
It went belly up.
Yes.
And they said, okay, we can't fix it this year, but we'll fix it by the next time.
That's right.
Okay. The next time came, 2004, the same thing happened, but worse. At that moment, it was like 1:35 in the morning.
Right.
At that point, I realized nobody else was going to take care of it. I need to do something. So I looked into the election statistics stuff, and then I also gave myself permission to start thinking about what happened on 9/11.
Well, I have to tell you, first of all, number one, is I've been saying this to a lot of people recently, it just takes one person to stand up. It does. It takes one person to stand up. There's many people out there, Dr. Judy, that I really sincerely believe that wanted to do the same thing as you. They wanted to stand up, but again, for whatever false reasons that we can all give ourselves or justification we can give ourselves, we hold ourselves back from doing what we know is the right thing because we're fearful. We're in a state of fear. I'll lose my job. I'll lose this. This will happen or that will happen. And so we're in a constant state of fear, and that's something that has been inbred in us since, you know, since I can remember. We're always in fear of getting into trouble or not doing the right thing. I mean, that's, as a society, that's kind of how they teach us, right?
Yeah, it's a control mechanism.
Right, exactly. It is, and it works very well for 99.9% of the population. So the one thing that I wanted to talk about with these, when I was watching this, the one thing that I do remember watching is that, and see, I'm not, you know, I don't have any kind of engineering degree. I failed miserably.
That's good.
Miserably at geometry. I can't draw a stick man that looks correct. So, but I looked at the tower. I remember that one. And I remember the thought crossed my mind. And see, it just crossed my mind. And I didn't follow through with the thought, and I thought, oh gosh, that looks just like when they demolish buildings, you know, when they want to take down a building, it looks just like they do when they purposely do that, you know, they want to implode a building. And it looked just like that. I had just seen something on TV. I don't remember what show it was, but it was some kind of a show where they kind of show you, you know, this is how demolition teams come in, and this is how they, you know, raise buildings and so that they can build new buildings. And I remember watching the one, and I was like, my goodness, that looks just like that how I just seen that. It was so very strange. And I remember thinking about that for the longest time, and then I just never went beyond that thought because I didn't know what else to do with the thought.
Yeah, I think also that thought was kind of placed in us, too. But I never thought that with the towers because, you know, immediately the idea of a sweater unraveling was just stuck in there. And that's another interesting thing. In extreme events, first impressions stick real deeply.
Well, and we are, the United States, Americans have not seen anything like that. That was the other thing that I was just talking to, actually, my technical engineer before the show, and I was like, we were all in a state of shock. So the shock value alone didn't cause us to think logically.
Right. And this was a psyops.
Yep. Yep.
And my proof of that? You know, why'd it take X number of years for somebody to say, where did the buildings go?
Yeah, where's all the rubble? Where's the massive quantities of rubble? And now, interestingly enough, we already have a question, and I really want to go ahead and ask this guy. Guy's name is Jimmy Mack, and he's from Florida. He said, please ask Dr. Wood a question for me. I have scoured her extensive website and have one question for her. If a fuel-loaded 747 plane had hit the top of the World Trade Center like we were led to believe, wouldn't the force of such an impact cause the plane to go through the top part of the tower? Also, has any significant plane fragments of the supposed plane crash ever been covered? If so, have there ever been examined, and by whom? So you have, like, a loaded question there.
I'll lump it kind of into the plane issue. And I usually don't like to get into the plane issue because it's so emotional, but also people just go round and round circles because there's a lot hinging on that as to, you know, whatever else happens, rather than realizing that the planes aren't what caused the building to go away. But dealing with the plane issue, I early on drew this picture of, you know, Wile E. Coyote, a silhouette of passage in the tower.
I've seen that.
You know, in the Roadrunner cartoons, how do we know what that thing was? It was zoom, you know, zings by. You look and you see, oh, it's a Roadrunner-shaped cutout. Must have been the Roadrunner who went through here. Americans fell for the Roadrunner trick.
Yeah.
On the World Trade Center.
Yep.
An airplane-shaped cutout. Airplanes don't make airplane-shaped cutouts. You know, I what really hit me that day was the wingtip. You have this 5-inch deep wing out of aluminum, aircraft aluminum, and then you have a 5-inch tall slot through steel columns. Now, buildings are way overbuilt. Airplanes aren't. Why does your luggage get weighed?
Right.
You know, before you get on the airplane, you know, every pound counts because it's designed to be floating. It's not designed to go through buildings. So, you know, airplane versus building, guess who wins?
Right.
But we have this, you know, the airplane penetrates this building, punches this hole in it, and then you look in the hole and there's no airplane.
Right.
And how'd that happen? So it's not possible. And actually, I showed that picture to one of my colleagues, who knows that I have this thing for Roadrunner. I like to use him in my classroom because it's, you know,
he's one of my favorites,
fun.
Too.
And, you know, so I'm showing this cutout inside the building, and he turns around, his jaw dropped, and he said, wait a minute, is this picture real? And I showed him several more. He goes, oh, my gosh, something's wrong with the story we were given.
That's
all it took to realize, you know, it was a hoax.
Yeah. So, that being said, we've gone through all these pictures. And again, I'm going to tell everyone, please go to your website, drjudywood.com www.facebook.com/WTC. There's videos, there's pictures, there's everything in there, and of course there's a wealth of information still on the 9/11 of videos all over YouTube. I'm sure there's some on Google Video, and you have got like a ton of information there on your website as well. Lots of, as a matter of fact, some of the pictures I hadn't seen yet were some that I'd noticed on your website. So, you know, it's just kind of like you just start putting all these puzzle pieces together. So as you were going along, and you realized that, first of all, is that everything just didn't feel right, it didn't look right, and it wasn't right, then what did you do after that? I mean, we were all in a state of shock, and you obviously were probably more level-headed than most would have been, you know, by going back and thinking about this and then really starting to research it.
But I stuffed it for, you know, some time because it's totally unacceptable. I want to keep my job. But also, is I realized what outness of this and how it was being used and so forth. And I remember folks saying, well, if you speak out, you'll destroy your career. And I also said, well, if I don't speak out, I won't have a career anyway because we won't have a world.
Wow. Now, see? There you go, so, folks.
So I was without fear.
Awesome.
And I think you can see since, you know, the past few years, a lot's been happening.
Yes. 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 It has. And you know what? As chaotic as it is, as chaotic and awful as it is, it's also the truth that's coming out. All the terrible, terrible truths that have been withheld from all the peoples around all of the world. And I think the biggest thing, though, for people really that they just didn't want to wrap their mind around is to think that this, first of all, has happened in the United States, and second of all, is that this would be allowed to happen in the United States. And I think that was the biggest shock value that there was in all of this, which again, it just really just looped everyone's brain. They just really couldn't grasp the enormity of it. The absolute horribleness of it, they just couldn't wrap their brain around it, and the loss of life and everything else that went with it. And I think it really impacted the world. Of course, we know what happened after the fact as well, and we'll get back into that in a little bit. But I think right now what we'll do, Dr. Judy, is we'll take a short break, and when we come back, we'll kind of pick up from there, and we'll go on.
Okay.
So for the rest of you, do not go away. We're going to be right back with more Journeys with Rebecca with Dr. Judy Wood.
Fate Magazine is proud to celebrate its 60th anniversary and our 700th issue. That's 60 years of bringing you true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate brings you the latest on all aspects of the paranormal, like angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. It's bigger and better than ever. Subscribe now by calling 1-800-728-2730 or online at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730 or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
The times we live in now allow for the professional psychic to no longer be hidden. People from all walks of life, government officials, stars of screen and TV, CEOs to the homemaker and construction worker, have sought the insights of truly gifted psychics. You know, my colleagues at American Association of Professional Psychics have the most top-notch psychics available. Their gifts span a huge range from mediumship, channeling, clairvoyance, tarot, numerology, astrology, and so much more. You know, each of us as certified psychics must pass strict testing and honor and uphold the founding principles. All this information and so much more can be found, though, on their website. That's CertifiedPsychics.com. Or just call them at 800-717-7887.
more than talk. It's entertaining insight and discoveries. You're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
All right. Welcome back. We're here with Dr. Judy Wood, and we are talking about 9/11. Dr. Judy, I have to tell you is that my email, even after that first segment, it's just blowing up. I've got all kinds of people sending me all this great information and certainly questions. And speaking of that, I did want to make sure that we answered that gentleman's question that he gave us in the first segment. I'm not sure if we got to all of his questions. I know he talked about the plane. And
would it go out the other side, or with the jet, or something about the jet fuel, was there?
Yeah, something about the jet fuel in there because it was fully loaded. And let me see if I can find that again. I'm not sure if I can find it. It's long gone from my system
but
here.
Jet fuel, you know, doesn't melt airplanes when they're flying,
true,
or their engines.
True.
Because otherwise, you know, drip, metal dripping out of the airplane as it's flying overhead.
Yeah, absolutely. So, okay, so here's another thing. There's a couple other questions that came in. And for the gentleman that in Florida that wrote us, if we didn't answer your questions, if you'll go ahead and send back the rest of the questions we didn't answer, we certainly will follow up. There's just so much information here with Dr. Judy. I'm probably getting a little carried away, so I apologize. We have another question that came out of the IM, which is what happened with the Pennsylvania crash at the same time, and also, do you think the buildings were imploded with explosives? So,
I wasn't in Pennsylvania. I didn't see what happened, but from everything I've gathered, there wasn't any airplane parts in the ground. There's plenty of rumors, and what I've tried to do in my research is stay away from, you know, second-hand hearsay. It may be right, it may not be, but heck, 9/11 was a psyops.
Okay.
And people may be repeating stuff that they think is true, but hey, we all were psyoped. So I like to look at just the evidence and what do we see in the evidence.
Okay.
And that brings us to this webpage. And talking about where the buildings imploded, it was a new technology. And I've carefully gone through all the evidence I've gone through and just looking to see what happened. And actually, that's a lot easier than trying to, you know, deal with what happened to the humans, because the emotions get really stirred up with that.
Sure.
And if we just look at the physics of it, it's really an easier task.
Okay.
If you think of the small picture instead of the big picture, but you start looking, and everywhere you look, it all adds up to the same thing. So if we go to this page, and at the top, there's an index. And at each section, there's a little tiny index link that'll pop you back up to the top.
Right.
if you get lost and go to whatever section. If we go down to section B, it's right near the top. It's I call it dustification. Now, what I've done is establish a new vocabulary to keep myself from falling into, you know, bias perception.
Okay.
If you start, just wipe the slate clean and see things anew. And just what do you see? And then give it an arbitrary name. A name that, you know, sort of a simple name, whatever you can remember for that particular phenomenon.
Okay.
And you start listing different phenomena. So this phenomenon is dustification. And you can see the building just is turning to dust as it comes down.
It is. Yep.
Now, the pieces go flying, and like when a bomb goes off, in controlled demolition, I call that bombs in the building, chunks go flying, but the chunks stay as chunks as they're flying. These, the chunks, you know, dissolve.
They're disintegrating as they go down. I can see what you're saying as I'm watching this, yes.
And it's a totally different phenomenon.
You're right, it is. I see what you're saying, which is henceforth why we don't have any rubble.
Right, it's kind of gone, and the pictures below that, I call that lathering up. There's just some weird cloud patterns, and there's some other evidence Let's see. It's the seismic data. How about if let's see, look at M. Click on M for rate of dustification.
Hang on just a second. I'm almost there. There we are. There it is.
And right below those, if you click on any page, any picture on the page, it'll jump out into a bigger page picture. But if you look at figures 96, 97, 98. 96 is before. We have these buildings from the whole WTC complex there.
Right.
And then 97 is the topography of the ground right afterwards.
I see.
And one of the things you notice is the main body of that building in the front left-hand corner is gone. Just the north is to the right, and is just the north wing. The body of it is just polished, gone down to the ground.
Gotcha. You're right.
Where's the material? We had two buildings over a quarter mile tall, 500,000 tons each.
Just evaporated.
And if they turn to dust from hitting each other, you see that figure 98. Why didn't they pile up into the basement? Why didn't they, bang on each other and damage the basement?
Right.
And if you had bombs, go ahead.
Well, and I noticed on somewhere on your site, too, where it showed, earthquakes that have taken down big buildings, and the pile of rubble is almost as tall as the building was when it was standing. It was just in rubble.
Well, when the dust clouds go up, they never go really much higher than the roof.
Right.
And right below that, this section, in section N, the bathtub section.
Right.
The bathtub was a protective wall that held the Hudson River out. The basement was built on bedrock, which was about 70 feet below the water table.
Okay.
So it's really important that this not be damaged. And there's a path train tunnels that go under the Hudson and come up into the base of the bathtub. And then there's a station where you can transfer over onto subways. So if you flood this thing, you flood all of Manhattan.
Right.
And it wasn't. And in the picture on the right, figure 122, here they are lifting one of the path trains out.
It's perfectly
And you
intact.
Still have all the parking garage levels.
Yeah, still intact.
And it's kind of interesting the impact these things made relative to each other. Below there I have the diagrams of the kingdom, building 7, and one of the towers. And the diagrams right below that are the equivalent earthquake magnitude they made.
Okay,
gotcha. In other words, if you chop off all but just that bottom little bit of the building,
right?
That's that the equivalent. Okay, the bottom 20 floors of one of the towers.
Right.
That's as much of an impact if you drop that stuff to the ground. So, asking about controlled demolition, if you blow up this building, the stuff has to go somewhere.
Right.
It's going to land on the ground. There was no gravity collapse. The mass of that building did not slam to the ground.
Just disintegrated. Okay, now we're going to get back. I'm going to shift this just a minute.
Okay.
This gentleman that I asked to write us back, because we didn't answer the rest of his
question,
he wrote us back.
Great.
And he said, was there any significant plane fragments of the supposed plane crash ever recovered? And if so, have they been examined and by whom?
No, there hasn't been any that have been documented as being from the plane. There was a plane part, but it belonged to a totally different kind of plane. Either 727 or 737.
Right.
But these planes have time change, parts with codes on them, so they can track the parts and when they need to be changed. And so if two planes crashed midair, you could sort out which piece went with which plane.
Right.
And there's none of those parts were ever found or identified.
And my understanding is that they didn't find them at any of the sites.
Correct.
That's my understanding. The most interesting one, I think, is the one, though, out in Pennsylvania, because that's the one that there's the least amount of documentation to. One that they found out in the the plane supposedly that went down in Pennsylvania. That was the one that they found least amount of videos and all of that on. It was really interesting. That one was the most interesting one. And, of course, the Pentagon is a whole other thing. Because you said your parents lived close to there, was there any way for you to also, like, to do any research from the Pentagon aspect of it, or was this just the World Trade Center stuff?
I was only really looking at the World Trade Center. With this mystery, it's interesting that different people are attracted to different portions of the problem. And I, you know, from day one, it was the towers and how they unraveled. That was always fascinated me. There have been others who have been interested in the Pentagon. And the Pentagon, you know, there's a lot of strange things with that, like there's the hole in the side isn't big enough. And then, like, half hour after the hole appeared, the whole middle caved down to nothing left. Imagine that. Have you seen that anywhere before?
Yeah. Yeah, the whole thing was, and then them, and the correlation between that and the World Trade Center, one of your photos that you had in there was that they brought in dirt and they in front of the Pentagon, and it's like they made it all nice and clean and it just looked real spotless. And then you have some in there too on your demolition sites that just look spotlessly clean. For a demolition site or for cleanup or whatever.
Yeah, clean enough to eat off of.
Yeah, I seen that and I was like, yeah, that and so I correlated that with the pictures that I'd seen after the fact of around the Pentagon thing. One of my questions that I have for you that I thought was fascinating was the one with the windows. The windows all have the ones that have been broken out have like a circular pattern to them. They're circular. The windows are circular, and this is going to be let's see, what is this under? Bankers Trust windows, the Barclay Street windows, Liberty Plaza, all the windows.
It's windows section I. If we go to the top and you click on I, you get, you're shaking there. At least it is I for right now.
Right.
It's actually moving around based on what works best. But, yeah, you look at those windows and something doesn't look right. You have round holes.
What causes round holes?
Longitudinal waves.
What's that for the layperson?
A little like electromagnetic kind of things.
Okay. So electromagnetic waves.
Something that jet fuel doesn't cause, flying debris doesn't cause, and bombs in the building don't cause.
Well, I can honestly say I've never seen a pattern like this. It was the one that I thought was really the one that really set it off for me was the first one that was FWC1 windows. It's the first one on the left under I, windows in marble.
The first one left or the one in the middle that...
yeah, that one too.
Yeah, looking from the middle out, it's perfectly round holes almost. And everyone who's, you know, thrown a baseball through a window knows they make kind of a spider web pattern.
Right.
It'll just make a round hole.
Right.
And other interesting things, like figure 61, you can see that it's double-pane windows,
right.
But only the outer pane's missing in some of them.
I know.
Not both.
Yeah, I see that in there. So, again, that would be the electromagnetics?
Yeah, something weird, an energy wave. This is called generically energy waves.
Okay. You know,
and
I think
some of my interesting ones recently, like figure 67 and 68. Call it Swiss cheese windows.
Yes. Yeah.
It looks like the windows just kind of dissolved.
Yeah, actually they do, don't they? Looking at it, see, everyone's got a just different verbiage makes you, you know, change your perspective on looking at it. It's very odd looking. I mean, seriously, that's just very odd looking. The more you look at it, 65, 66, they all have that round patterning to them, very odd.
Yeah, just like somebody had a hot soldering iron and just started poking it through the window.
Yeah, I know. It's just, that's strange. I think this might be a good place for us to leave us, and then when we come back, we're going to pick this train of thought up, and then we're going to continue on with this energy of the whatever was happening there with Dr. Judy Woods. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
sure to check out Mark Kerr's debut CD, One Drink Away from the Blues, at www.cdbaby.com. This flawless debut performance earned Mark an induction into the Blues Hall of Fame as Ambassador to the Blues for the state of Louisiana. Also, it earned him a nomination for a Musician of the Year in 2006 by the Academy of Texas Music. Mark Kerr, One Drink Away from the Blues, at www.cdbaby.com.
Hi, this is Rebecca Jernigan. You know, like many of you, I have a very busy and ever-changing schedule. This has made it challenging for many of you who have requested readings from me to get them in a timely way. Well, I have a solution. I have teamed up with my esteemed colleagues from American Association of Professional Psychics to now be able to offer you readings that can be scheduled easier and quicker, many times right when you want to call. I've been working with them since 1993, and like everyone else there, I've been certified as a professional psychic counselor. I can assist you with your questions, concerns, and triumphs in life. You know, to make this even better, there are three ways to get a reading: email, online chat, which is a real favorite of mine, and of course on the phone. Great, isn't it? So log on to certifiedpsychics.com to talk to me, or you can call 800-717-7887. I am at extension 1474. Oh, and if it's the first time you call, use the email or online chat. There's a discount too.
Email Rebecca with your comments to mailbag at journeyswithrebecca.com. You're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
All right, welcome back. And for those of you who are listening or just tuned in, please join us in the chat room. You can get to that from the front of my website. That's journeyswithrebecca.com. And on the right-hand side is a link. This is listener chat. Please go there. And we've got monitors in there. We've been asking a lot of questions of our guest tonight, Dr. Judy Wood. And we had another one, Dr. Judy, that came in during the commercial break. You don't have the answers to these, then you don't have the answers to these. But someone is asking why they are tearing down the Bankers Trust building at 130 Liberty Street. Would you know why they're doing that?
I believe so.
Okay, good.
Pretty good idea. They had this big gash that was in the front of it right after, on the day of 9/11, and they end up replacing the floors that were missing, replacing that and making it anew, but it continued to deteriorate, continued to come undone.
Wow. What would cause that?
We're about to find out.
All right.
And they're still having problems taking it down. The problem is still ongoing.
Oh, my goodness.
So, let's see. A good picture to go to is the K section.
Okay, now let me refresh everyone's memories. If you will, is go to drjudywood.com/WTC. And you can follow along by just at the very top of the page, close to the top of the page. She has shortcuts and index, and if you just go to the letter, it will take you right there. And what are we discussing? Which one again?
It's fuzzballs.
Number K, fuzzballs. Got it.
Again, I use these arbitrary terms.
I love them.
That's what it looks like, fuzzballs around people's feet. But this first picture was one of my aha moments. It really told me a lot. We're about a full block north of the North Tower and slightly upwind. It's not very strong wind that day, about 5 miles per hour. And it's just after the North Tower went poof. I don't say collapse. It went poof. It went away. And there was this huge dust cloud we saw roll out. And about 15 minutes later or so, it's all settled out. And we can see nice blue sky in the background. So that dust settled out right quick. But then if you start noticing carefully around the feet of some of the policemen there,
yes,
you see fuzzballs. Yeah, the fuzzy things around their feet.
Yeah, it looks unclear. It looks like an unclear picture. Yes.
As though they're stirring up dust. But wait a minute. That fine of dust could not have settled out of the air that quickly.
No.
Only coarse dust could have settled out of the air and then became fine dust.
Okay, that's right.
And then looking at the next row of pictures, you can see these people just came out of their hiding place. They, you know, got their regular work clothes on, and so you know it's just right after they, you know, getting out of their hiding places, so it's shortly after the event, and you see these fuzz balls rising.
Yeah, you do.
And that very last picture, you can see they're rising all by themselves, that haze, without anybody kicking it up.
Yep.
Ah, so what do we do about this? People are going to notice. You bring out the street cleaners and scrub the streets.
Yeah, I didn't realize they had done that either until I was watching your site, too.
They did it that afternoon, beginning that afternoon.
Yeah, that's kind of strange, isn't it? Oh, let's clean the streets. We just, you know, had half our city gone, and we're going to clean the streets.
Yeah, who cares about, you know, trying to, you know, rescue anybody? You get these big street cleaners, you know, blocking the streets.
So a question related to that, Dr. Judy, is they said the dust, of course, made people sick. Could this also be an indication about the material in the dust? And it said firemen and people got sick a year later, even, still getting sick after the dust.
The problem is still ongoing.
Okay.
Here we have this material that's breaking down, finer and finer and finer. What happens when you inhale that?
It gets in you, in your pores, it gets in your lungs, it gets into everything.
Yeah, I wonder what it does in your bloodstream. It can't be good. So that keeps breaking down, and that leads to another problem. Okay, and then they bring out the street cleaners, scrub the streets. But right directly across the street from the World Trade Center, we had the World Financial Center, and they had nice green lawns out front. So what happens when the lawn starts fuming? You can't say, okay, those are the fires that burn for 99 days. Yeah, they're burning right underneath the grass there. That story isn't going to fly.
No.
So what did you do with that? Well, if you go up to the top and you can find the dirt section, that's section E. And that's figure 27. You notice that very first picture, that's the front of, I think it's WFC2. World Financial Center 2. It's right directly across the street from where Tower 1 was and Tower 3.
Right.
And, another thing people don't realize is, like, you know, eight buildings went away that day. Or seven went away, but Bankers Trust, we'll include that one as number eight.
Okay.
A lot of them. And so if you look, see that bucket on the ground?
Yep.
If you click on the picture and enlarge it, you'll see this, like, fresh potting soil, brand new dirt.
My computer's having a little slow time here loading the image. There it is. I see it. Yeah, it is. It's fresh dirt. Fresh dirt.
Isn't that peculiar?
That's very peculiar. I mean, that is fresh dirt.
And it's lush looking dirt.
Yes. Okay.
And that, when I saw that picture, I went, oh boy, I'm starting to see, you know, but you know when you have oil spill in your garage, you put down kitty litter to soak it up?
Right.
It's good for cleaning up toxic spills. And if you look at figure 28, that was only taken less 2 days or less after the event. Now, the first day that FEMA logged pictures into their system was on the 13th, so it was no later than the 13th. But it looks like somebody had a wheelbarrow full of stuff from the landfill and just dumped it in piles.
Yep. It does.
And years later, here we have the same thing happening. You know, figure 29, and more dirt.
Yeah.
That's why I named this one series of, you know, looking at the dust and what happens to it as the dirt series.
Yeah.
And the figures 30, 31, 32, you see the dirt trucks coming in and they see dirt trucks going out.
Yeah, they bring dirt in and they take dirt out. That was really amazing. And so what's your theory behind that? Why would they do that? Why would they bring dirt in and then are they scooping up whatever the... Did they lay the dirt out and then scoop it back up because it took contaminants out with it? Is that what that was?
It sure seemed like it. Like, you know, back to that original one in front of the WFC building.
Yeah.
Why is there dirt there?
I don't know. That's really odd. I always thought that was odd I was reading that, and I was like, okay, dirt in, dirt out. That doesn't make any sense. Should be dirt in and rubble out or something.
And I was there a year ago, standing there looking. Here's this huge, beautiful new dirt pile.
Yeah, and they did that in front of the Pentagon, by the way. That's what they did. Is they brought in loads and loads and loads and loads of dirt.
And the same fuming was going on there. That's what I call it, fuming. You know, the stuff coming up, rising up.
Right.
And Figure 33, right below there, is a new favorite of mine.
Yes.
Nice mud pie. How's a building?
Are you still there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, there you are. Okay, go ahead. Lost you for a second.
How can a building turn into a mud pie?
I've really never heard of one doing that, honestly, Dr. Judy.
It's in my latest thing for NIST. I said that needs some explaining. This is for the Building 7
right
report. You know, this figure needs some explaining,
yeah.
As Ricky Ricardo would say.
Yeah, I need some explaining to do on that one. Yeah, that's right. Well, as long as you mentioned it, what was the deal with Building 7? Of course, what they told everyone was that it was just because of the explosions of the other two buildings that caused that one to explode as well.
It had a sympathy,
Yeah, it had sympathy pains, was that it?
Yeah.
All right, so getting back to the floor of the Bankers Trust building. Okay, they've replaced the floors and they keep disintegrating. Is this the backlash of the energy that was used to create this mess?
We'll not make any assumptions, but we'll say whatever was going on seems to be continuing.
Okay.
And they probably hadn't anticipated that.
That's what I'm thinking. It was like an experiment. And
oops.
Yeah. So, that being said, is there any anomalies like that, like, say, in the Pentagon that you're aware of? Have they done any repairs to that? And the repairs, you know, they're still ongoing because they can't get it repaired. I mean, that would seem like, if this is ongoing, this destruction, if you will, of the event itself, we never know if it's even going to end, in a sense.
Yeah, and when I was, you know, starting to research on this, one of the things that really grabbed my attention in looking at this method is, first of all, I listed all of these various characteristics, and then I happened upon the Hutchison effect. And thought, oh my gosh, is this like a one-to-one correlation? And one of the things that someone wrote up about the Hutchison effect is that if there's a large amount of mass over a certain critical amount, the process is not self-quenching. That will continue on.
Okay, so explain that to people. What does that mean?
When you start a fire, You in your fireplace, whatever. When it burns up all of the fuel, it goes out.
Okay.
But how about if you have another kind of process that gets energy from somewhere and it just snowballs and keeps going?
Okay.
If it pulls it out of, you know, space or something like that.
Right.
So a different kind of energy.
Right, because we're getting into the physics and the mechanics of things that are not normally used or that we've not seen, at least in our lifetimes, as far as this type of energy and this technology that we're aware of being used. That's pretty interesting. Real quick, we have a whole bunch of questions that we didn't okay. get to, and we've only got a couple of minutes left. We'll have to take a break, and then when we come back, we'll get to the rest of some of these questions. But maybe a quick one. We've got like 2 minutes, I think. What's the World Trade Center 7, the field picture, about?
Which picture?
The World WTC 7 field picture about. Field J picture about. I guess what we'll need to do, PJ, have you look, you know which one they're talking about?
I know which one he's talking about. That's why I've started putting the names on them.
Okay, good.
Want me to do it now or when we get back?
How much time do we got? We got 1 minute. Do you have time in 1 minute
okay.
to explain that?
I've got to find the picture first. I think it's in the Lather section. Yeah, it's in the Lather section, and it's like figure 13. It's what's so bizarre is that everything's coming out of one side of the building.
Okay, that's right. That is pretty bizarre.
And it has an interesting pattern about it, and the same with figure 14.
Okay.
Like there might be some kind of field causing it to do that.
Okay. Now, we do have to go for a short break in between the hours for all of our affiliates. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, Dr. Wood, if you have some more you want to say about that, answering the rest of the questions, we will, but we'll get to the rest of the questions when we come back after the break. So don't go away. We'll be right back with more of Journeys with Rebecca and Dr. Judy Wood. Stay with us. The times we live in now allow for the professional psychic to no longer be hidden. People from all walks of life, government officials, stars of screen and TV, CEOs to the homemaker and construction worker, have sought the insights of truly gifted psychics. You know, my colleagues at American Association of Professional Psychics have the most top-notch psychics available. Their gifts span a huge range from mediumship, channeling, clairvoyance, tarot, numerology, astrology, and so much more. You know, each of us as certified psychics must pass strict testing and honor and uphold the founding principles. All this information and so much more can be found though on their website. That's certifiedpsychics.com. Or just call them at 800-717-7887.
Journeys with Rebecca is sponsored by Fate Magazine, providing true accounts of the strange and unknown for over 58 years. To receive your free copy of Fate Magazine, call 800-728-2730 or log on to fatemag.com.
Tolerance is accepting someone before they walk through the door.
No matter what their background, their religion, their lifestyle.
It's about accepting people for who they are as individuals.
Their culture, their family, their traditions.
Tolerance is celebrating the diversity that makes us great.
Tolerance. Honor the differences.
Picture a world of respect. Visit tolerance.org to learn more.
Hey, this is Mark Kerr. If you plan to buy a CD or digital downloads in the near future, make sure that one of your purchases is from an independent artist. We are the future of the music business.